Almighty and everlasting God, we ask that you pour out your Spirit upon us at this time and in this place, and shine the light of your love on the scripture that I will read and the scripture that I will proclaim, so that we might hear clearly what you would have us to hear, and we would respond appropriately. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Proverbs, the first chapter, the 20th through the 33rd verses. Hear now the word of God. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out at the city gate. She makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but I will not be found. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Our scripture this morning comes from the heart of Old Testament wisdom literature. Now, I know when I preached back in June, if you were here when I preached from the book of Job, you know the other books that are in the Old Testament wisdom literature, don't you? I'll remind you. We have Job and we have Psalms. We have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. This language here is, of course, in the heart of it. We learn about Lady Wisdom in our scripture, but we go back to verse 7, we learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And then in the 8th verse through the 20th verse, we are introduced to the foolish, the simple, the gullible. You're introduced to me as a teenager. You're introduced to me as my mother used to say to me, "You, no one can tell you anything. You are foolish. You are a know-it-all. You are obstinate." Those are the words my mother described me with. In the 8th through the 19th verses of this first chapter, we also learn about the father who is talking to his son. It's as if this father knows what it's like to be foolish. Knows what it's like to be foolish and the cost that it has upon you. Foolishness, being gullible, being persuaded by your peers. Sometimes those people, when we talk about peer pressure, they are the peer. Sometimes they are the pressure. Sometimes. And when we start thinking about what these scriptures tell us, sometimes we think, well, that's not very nice the way she talks to those people. It's not warm and fuzzy. It's not calming. It's not cajoling. It's not like a mother hen. It sounds pretty, well, it sounds like tough love, doesn't it? Sometimes we need to be very candid, don't we? When the stakes are high, we need to be serious. We need to be candid. She is blatantly honest. She's tough love. And she exhibits pleasure, even, for people who don't listen to her. Yep, I will smile when calamity comes your way, because you didn't listen. That's kind of hard for us to think about. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we need to hear the seriousness of the situation. I was thinking back when I was 9 or 10 years old. Now, this is in a different age, okay? Well, this is in an age that you're familiar with. It was my age, but I was 9 or 10. It was a Sunday night, as the tradition was, and it was our habit. Our family went to church on Sunday night. We had preaching. The choir was in the choir loft. They sang. They sang an anthem and all of that stuff. Both of my parents were in the choir. After the service, they would take their hymn book and their choir folder back to the choir room and put it away. And so usually we were kind of waiting around. One night, my dad and I were walking out the back door of the church. One of his friends, they were talking. I was listening. At the back door, there was a stoop about 2.5 feet wide. When you open the exterior door, the edge of that door covered that stoop. So it's not very big. And then you step down to a sidewalk. This is about 4 feet, however how wide a normal sidewalk is. And then you stepped into the street. So the distance from the door to the street is not very far. And we're standing on each side of the door, and my dad and this friend were talking. And out of nowhere, there was an explosion of somebody busting through the door. And it was the 7-year-old son of my dad's friend. And when he hits and busts through the door, I'm not sure if he hit the stoop, hit the floor of the stoop, or if he hit maybe one step in the sidewalk. But the next thing you know, he was in the middle of the street with a car coming. We all did this number, as anybody would, as this person was able to stop and not hit this child. But in this split second, the gravity of this moment hit this father, and what could have happened, and he takes one step, I don't know how the man stepped one step to the middle of the street, and he snatched his son back to the sidewalk and popped him on the back of the head. And then he began to give him a lesson in what he needed to know of how lucky he was not killed in that moment. I don't know if that child ever ran out that door again, but I didn't. There was no doubt in my mind the seriousness of what I was exposed to and what I saw, because it was between something good and something awful happening. That's kind of what we're talking about, what Lady Wisdom is yelling from the gates. The folly. Not listening to wisdom is dangerous. When we don't seek God and don't fear God and we don't draw near to God, we're messing with trouble. Deadly trouble. Trouble that we will not be able to maneuver through as well as we could. This past Wednesday, when we had all the problem with the power, I was out there watching the Georgia Power men working. When you open that transformer out there, there are some, I don't know, there's probably 36 big cables. Each of them probably 1.5 inches in diameter. It is a lot of power coming into that transformer. And when they were working to see if they could fix the old transformer, they pull out a tool that's probably 7 feet long, and it has a sleeve over it. And on the end has a hook, And what you do is you, from 7 feet away, you hook it onto whatever you need to catch, and you twist that sleeve, and the hook closes down, and then you can push, you can pull, you can do a lot of things with it, and be at a safe distance. And so the first thing that they did was relieve the pressure on this oil reservoir. And you hear it. And then he tightens it back up and he releases it and he goes around to this where this giant fuse is about this long and is sitting in a reservoir of oil. And he hooks this thing and he does what he needs to do and he pops it out. These people are not talking. They're very methodical. They're very deliberate. They know the danger that can happen to them if they're not careful. And so later on in the day, I was talking to him. I said, I figured out why they would use that pole. He said, why? Because there's no way. Well, there is a way, but the odds of you being hurt if you use that are very slim and none. You have to be so deliberate in what you do, and you're such a distance away, it protects you. That's what wisdom literature is about. And then I think of all the noise we hear. Apparently, we heard that noise in the days of Solomon, 1,000 years before Christ. A lot of voices speaking nonsense into the world. And people were hearing themselves and listening to the wrong sources. And Lady Wisdom is doing what Lady Wisdom needs to do because she knows the danger that's in front of them. And she screams. And I think of all the things, the voices that scream at us today. You think of them. They're everywhere. We have influences that are on the television. We have computers that's on our phone, the different apps we listen at, the different places we get news, the people we have raised them up on a pedestal and we think they're wise, more wise than God. We listen to all these places and the noises is coming in, and yet we fear and we fall victim to listening to the wrong voices. And Lady Wisdom still cries out and cries out and cries out. And as I look at the world and look at the place our country is and all that's going on and what's gone on over the last many years, and it seems to get progressively and progressively worse and worse and worse, you have to ask the question, is anyone listening to Lady Wisdom? Is anyone listening? What does wisdom look like? What is this wisdom we're talking about? We seek to draw close to God, to understand God and what God requires of us. And what I've learned in my life is that the closer I get to God, when the hard times come, and they will come, I already have God close to me and I know where God is, and the presence of Christ with me, the power of the Holy Spirit, helps you know where to step next. Helps you know how to make it through. You know where to turn. You know where the help comes from because you've relied on that help all the time, every day, morning, noon, and night. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And when I lay down at night, give me Jesus. You see, what I have understood in my life and seen in my life, I know what it's like to go through hard times when I could not find God. And I know what it's like to go through hard times when God is easily found. And I like the latter a whole lot more. It makes it bearable. You know that you're never alone. It gives you a peace that surpasses understanding. I don't know how I have the peace that I didn't have before, but I'm thankful for the peace I got. It's hard to define this wisdom, but we know it when we see it. I was reading and I was reminded of an event that happened in 2006 where up in Pennsylvania, a gunman goes into a one-room Amish schoolhouse. Do y'all remember this? And this gunman shoots 10 girls, killing 6. In our time and in our day, it's easy to be vengeful and hateful and all of those things. But the Amish did something different. They surrounded, of course, the people and all those associated with the school and those parents that lost children and the siblings and all of those things with everybody in that school. But they did the unthinkable in today's thinking and the culture and the society's thinking. They surrounded the family of the shooter with love and grace and mercy and support. It's a beautiful thought. I don't know how to explain it, but I know what it looks like when I see it. Friday night, as June and I were watching ABC News and their tribute to 9/11, and they were talking to survivors and the things that they dealt with on 9/11, you saw the wisdom of God everywhere. I thought about those firefighters and police, EMTs, Port Authority people who ran into the buildings and ran up flights and flights and flights of stairs to save people, even giving their lives for those other people. You saw strangers reaching and grabbing and helping those who were stumbling and falling and holding their hand and helping them down and getting them out. You hear story after story after story. You see that at the Pentagon, where there was a lady there who was her second day of working at the Pentagon was 9/11. She was burned in her hands as someone came and got her, risked their life to get her out, and got her out. You think of Flight 93, and you hear the story of those men who decided they were not going to let evil win that day. They were not going to let evil destroy and kill more people than could. And they rushed the cockpit. They already knew they were going to die, but they knew they weren't going to die the way that those men, those evil men, wanted them to. And they said, let's roll. When I think about Amos 5:24, it says, but let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. You see, that's what godly wisdom looks like. We see it every now and then, and when we see it, we know it. I'm sure that God would love to see it more. I know that Lady Wisdom is still crying in the streets, crying for us, crying for those who don't know the Lord, those who are foolish, and those who are not listening. But may godly wisdom be seen in us every single day. Because I'm convinced that if enough of us show godly wisdom, the world can be changed. May it be so. May justice roll down like a never-failing river. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.